Hello, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good. Good, Snowed in up here, but...
Oh, yeah. Very cold.
Yeah, it is. It's very cold. Hello, chat. Hello, Twitch.
Yes, hello.
Hello, hello. Hello, people listening on the podcast. All good. Yeah, shout out to anybody tuning in from Texas, if that's even possible.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is going on down there?
I don't know. It's wild.
It's wild, and like at first... I think, you know, I was kind of like joking around a little bit about it, you know, mm-hmm. and then I realized like maybe I shouldn't be joking because this is like getting serious, you know.
Yeah,
like,
I think I don't want to say it's funny off the beginning, right? But we always kind of have those memes where it's like, oh, northern versus southern snowstorm and stuff like this. But
right.
like, this is an actual like critical emergency that's going down and like the culmination of multiple events, and it's really, really sad and tragic, and hope everything gets restored down there soon.
I know it's just nuts, right? And I don't mm-hmm. know. I don't even know what to say. Just wanted to, you know, say something about it because it's just wild. So anybody from down there, I hope you're hanging out okay, man. Mike,
sure.
Well, Michigan, Ontario, we're very used to this, even though it was like minus 17 Celsius last night here and we got like a foot of snow. It's just like, yeah, it's cool.
More snow tomorrow too.
Yeah. Oh, is there supposed to be more? Jeez. It's
supposed to be. I don't know.
Damn.
We'll see.
Absolutely wild.
So, welcome everybody, especially you, Shane, our special podcast, it's going to be a good time.
This is our special place where we talk about the most anticipated albums of the week. I'm having trouble talking today. But it happens. And last week we talked about a few records, and your number one was an interesting choice, not a huge artist.
So? You think so?
Abiotic was number one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And
you just said it was an interesting choice. I wanted to confirm.
Well, here's the thing. So I don't believe I'd ever heard of the band before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I dove in, you know, head first last week to this record. Icky guy. I'm an icky guy. Bit of an icky guy. And it's a hell of a record, man.
Dude, it was so good. Like, unrelentingly heavy the entire, like, 45 minutes.
I didn't
get a break the entire time.
No, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I actually checked because I was about halfway through it, and I was like, mm-hmm. okay, this has got to be like a 7 or 8 track record because there's just so much here, and the songs are pretty long. Like all mm-hmm. the songs are about 5 minutes long, and nope, it's a full 11 songs. It does clock in at 50 minutes.
Yeah,
and I mean, the amount of drum hits that took place.
Insane.
Like if you could count the drum hits, it would be probably a record. Like that one song, The Wrath, I think it was.
Yeah,
there's
track 5.
One part of that song. It's got to be the fastest like blast beat, gravity blast, whatever they call that mm-hmm. in the metal world I've ever heard. Ever.
It's insane. Like, and we're talking about the drumming, right? And it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
But like, the drumming doesn't even carry this record because everything else is just so great on it too. Like, the vocal performance is just on the top-notch, top level of like death metals that I've heard in the past like year or two. The guitar work was absolutely incredible too. And I was even having fun with the bass because it was like through the production, it actually got a chance to shine through and I loved it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's cool. And there's again, you know how I am about just an organic feel to metal, mm-hmm. you know? And even though obviously this is like, I mean, I assume this is real drums, like someone performed this, but, you know, nobody can perform that without a little help in terms of drum triggers and editing and all that. But I still loved the real feel of it, mm-hmm. you know, especially vocally. So many different styles of vocals in this, too. A lot of expression. I mean, there's parts that literally sound like Cradle of Filth, and then there's parts mm-hmm. that sound... you know, just almost like hardcore in a way. It's really, really interesting record and great pick again, Mike. You never let us down with these number ones.
I try not to. I mean, gosh, I'm just in love with this record. I think it's so good. And everybody, maybe if you're not a fan of death metal, even like just go check it out. I think it's a fun listen either way.
Yeah, no, 100%. Anything else that from the top 5 last week that you know is notable?
Yeah, that Teenage Wrist record, like, it really surprised me because it was short. It was about 30 minutes, I think. And every song on it was just fun. Like, that's the kind of record when I'm going out to eat with my mom that's, like, something I want to put on, where it's, like, alternative enough that I'm going to enjoy it, mm-hmm. but I know she's going to enjoy it, too.
Yeah.
And, like, it was just good. Like, overall, great songwriting. I wouldn't say every song on the album's a banger, but it's definitely a fun record, and I'm going to go back to it.
Yeah, no, 100%. I like that one as well. And I do want to talk to you about the Mod Sun record. I want your take on it.
All right, so I didn't get a chance to listen to it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll save you. I can save you some time. You might as well just listen to the Machine Gun Kelly record again.
All right.
The similarities between these albums, are it's just uncanny. And, like, obviously it's the same approach mm-hmm. and the same producer. And, I mean, you hear John Feldmann all over this thing. Like, some of the melodies are like, I'm like, oh, I think that might be a Goldfinger song. I there's even one where I was like, is that John Feldman singing? And actually it might be.
Yeah, who knows?
But yeah, I was actually, you know, I don't know, because I don't think it's a bad record at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's so overshadowed by that other release because it is just so similar to it that it's just really hard to, you know, not
mm-hmm.
compare them, mm-hmm. right? And that's
I agree. I think there's just so much coming out right now where it's this, like, pop punk with modern hip hop sensibilities and stuff like that. And it's almost like it's hard to see the forest through the trees and stuff like that, or however that term phrase goes. Like, there's so much out there right now that it's just a bit overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, but even there was even things in this record and you should listen to it, Mike, because it's not a bad record. I would love to. We'll talk about it next week, maybe again. But there's even like one part where there's like a voicemail or like talking part.
Oh, just, you know, like the MGK record.
Like 3/4 of the way through the record. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I don't know, you know, it is what it is, I guess. But yeah,
it is. Yep. You ready to get into some new music for this week?
I am so ready, Mike. I really excited. We got a top five list, and we're about to get into it right now. Boom. Let's go, Mike.
Boom. Let's roll. All right. So number five, coming out of Illinois, we've got the new album Amorphous by Icon for Hire.
Yes, Icon for Hire. This band, I mean, I know them pretty well mm-hmm. from you know, years ago. We did Warped Tour with them. The singer, Ariel, I wouldn't say I hung out with her a lot or anything, but, like, you know, mm-hmm. would kind of nod at her in passing. And I feel like this band has been, like, on the verge of blowing up since then.
Yeah, I agree. I think this band's criminally underrated, and they kind of fall into that, like, alternative punk, I don't want to say female-fronted, but they are, like, band where they're almost kind of getting overshadowed by bands like Hailstorm, who are coming out of, like, mm-hmm. similar mm-hmm. scenes and kind of going for the same thing. But that's not to take anything away from this band. Like, I think all of their songs rip. They're really fun, like, alternative with punk tinges. Like, they should be on the radio on, like, Octane and things like that with these new singles. I think they're good. I'm not going to say I'm, like, super excited to listen to the record, because I feel like they've kind of been a band that it has the same sound, and if you're expecting that sound, that's what you're going to get. But overall, like, I think it's going to be another similar release where they're on the verge of writing that breakout song, but they just haven't yet.
Yeah, no, exactly. And yeah, like, when you look at their Spotify numbers, for example, you know, they've got three songs that have over 10 million mm-hmm. Plays. They've got 648,000 monthly listeners, which is, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and they continue to just, you know, just try. And I mean, they put out a lot of singles in the last mm-hmm. know, couple years. They haven't put out a full album since 2016, and I think that's maybe what's missing. Like, I think they're still a band, they're still a rock band in the sense that they still need to put out albums. I don't think they can get away with just doing the pop single thing.
Mm-hmm. 100% agree. And I feel like putting out an album in 2016 has kind of killed their momentum as well. Like, the last time I saw them going out on tour, I could have gone, I think I had something else that night, but they were playing the Loving Touch in Michigan, and that's like a 200 cap room.
Love that
room.
Place. I love that
it's
place.
It's such a great venue. But like a 200, 250 cap room when you're doing like 600,000 monthly listeners on Spotify, like how does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't know. I'm kind of questioning, because that's probably one of the most insane dichotomies between monthly listenership and like venue size that I've ever seen.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, obviously the whole idea of Spotify monthly listeners translating to whatever, I mean, I don't know if that's a proven thing yet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you think logically it would, right? Because
yeah.
I know they look at that when they're booking, like, whereas people are going to be billed on festivals and things like that. So, I mean, draw is important.
Yeah, it's true, except there's always those bands. I forget who it was that I looked up. Oh, you know who it was I looked up the other day? I'm going to look it mm-hmm. up again right now. Nine Inch Nails, okay? Nine Inch Nails, a fucking massive band.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Nine Inch Nails only has 3 million monthly listeners.
Yeah, that's
they only have
3 wild,
million.
But...
And they only have one track with over 100 million Spotify streams, which is Closer.
Mm-hmm.
Like their songs, like Hurt, is only has 50 million streams on Spotify. That blows my mm-hmm. mind. How is that possible?
I always think about that too, though. Like, if you look at Nine Inch Nails and kind of like the scene that they came out of and like what they were aspiring to be, they were never really a huge like streaming band, I guess I would say. Like, I when I think of a Nine Inch Nails fan, I think of somebody who is like, yeah, I own every Nine Inch Nails CD.
Exactly.
And I listen to them in my car.
Yes.
Or I listen to them on record. I don't need a streaming service.
Exactly.
They're not that kind of person.
Yep. No, exactly. And
so
no, I think that still factors in, right? I mean, we can't judge everything by it, but you're right. I mean, we'll see what happens. Icon for Hire, we'll see. This record could be the one that puts them over the top. I definitely could see one of these songs really connecting in a mainstream way, mm-hmm. and it finally being their time. And it's just we've just been waiting, I feel like, for a decade pretty much for this to happen.
100%.
All right, number four.
So number four, we've got a really cool band called Harakiri for the Sky with their new album. I want to say it's Mere. It's got some like weird letters in there. Like, it's got the A combined with the E, and I don't mm-hmm. really know what sound that's supposed to make.
But yeah, I don't either.
Maybe it's just Mare. I have no idea. But this is a band from Vienna, Austria. They're a little weird. They're kind of like post-black metal. If you liked, I know we've talked about it on the show, in Expanse, the bands were Spire and Svalbard. They're kind of that. They take elements of black metal, but they're not fully there. They've got some elements of like post-hardcore punk, things like that along with them. The singles that I've listened to are absolutely phenomenal. And honestly, this band kind of feels like, I would say there's less post-hardcore and like modernity to it, and it's more closer to your typical like black metal. I would say this is like the missing link between Respire and Svalbard and like
right
maybe older black metal bands, like I'm not gonna say Mayhem for sure, but like Ghost Bath, bands like that.
Right, no, for sure. Ghost Bath, no. But you know, yeah, when you look at this material they put out, and again, like the shortest song is 6.5 minutes. Oh, there's one mm-hmm. that's 5.5. You know, we're talking about like very long songs, over 10 minutes, yep. a lot of them, which I always find a little bit hard to digest. But I will listen to this record because I do think this band is talented. And again, one thing I love about mm-hmm. your picks when they're from the metal world, Mike, is they're very rarely are they generic. You know, you yeah. usually tend to pull bands that have something a little bit deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And this band definitely, yeah, they're a little weird from what I've heard. And a little bit hard to maybe listen, but yeah.
I mean, part of that's like not intentional too, right? Like, I know later this year there's going to be an Exodus record, and we're going to talk about that Exodus record because I love Exodus and I love old school thrash. But a lot of those like kind of quintessential stereotypical metal genres, they don't have a lot of releases right now. It's all typically like death metal or this post-black metal that's going on right now that I think it's just really exciting.
100%, 100%, man. I love his pick.
Next. So number three, these top three, these are all kind of picks that I was juggling and I didn't know what order to put them in. They're kind of interchangeable. They're all really good. They're all going to be huge albums this week, I think. But coming in at number three, I've got the album Trauma Factory by Nothing Nowhere. I put this at number three because we've got seven singles so far, so you can pretty much listen to most of the album if you want already. I've absolutely loved all the singles, though. He's going for this emo rap / pop punk thing that's going on. I'm going to say completely the opposite end of the spectrum from Modson, MGK, artists like that, where they're kind of more the Blink-182 fun pop punk. This is the sad, depressing, I'm going to sit in the shower and cry kind of pop punk that he's kind of going for.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, I think he leans on his hip-hop influences a bit more, too. Like, there's guitar, there's simple drum beat, things like that. But I'm honestly really excited for this record. I've loved everything that Nothing Nowhere's ever done. I think he's insanely talented. He's not only blown up himself, he's gotten another band in Point North to blow up because of one of his songs that they covered. Like,
right.
Just incredibly talented dude. And honestly, I can't wait to listen to this record on Friday.
Yeah, and it's a great pick. I'm actually surprised maybe it's not your number one pick. I know you're a fan of this genre. You know, you're not a gatekeeper at all with this, which I like about you too, Mike. You know. But I do feel like Nothing Nowhere, this is a big deal because he is the leader, I think,
yeah,
in this genre, whatever you want to call it, if you want to call it emo rap or whatever. I feel like he really is the one on top, and he opened up a lot of doors for a lot of other artists, in that scene. So,
I wouldn't say he's like the leader of quote unquote emo rap. I think there are some other like bigger names, like coming to think of it, like Lil Peep, Tekashi 6ix9ine.
For sure. But I'm just mean more in terms of the grassroots, like real.
Exactly.
Like he's like, legitimate. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense.
He feels like he's more organically come from our scene. And like you see him going out on tour. Like he was supposed to be on tour right now with Neck Deep. Like crap like that. He's been in our scene. He likes the kind of music that we listen to. And he's just kind of applying it to a different format. And that's one of the reasons I like him so much is like all the music doesn't feel forced. It's just very, very good.
Yep. Absolutely. Except Level Up Incorporated spelt the band name wrong. You got to watch it with the cat. Yeah. And caps, come on. All lowercase. We got to keep that depression going. That's we're too lazy to hit the caps lock or the shift key over there. Come on. We're typing one hand, no space bar. That's how we do it.
Exactly.
Exactly. Boom. That's something that Nine Inch Nails started. Well, they probably didn't start it. I remember the first Nine Inch Nails record, Pretty Hate Machine. It came out when I was like in grade four. They were my favorite band. Yeah, I was pretty cool in grade four. I had a Pretty Hate Machine shirt even in my grade four picture. And yeah, the liner notes were all lowercase. And I remember I wrote out the lyrics, like I typed them out on a very primitive computer. And it was for the song Something I Can Never Have, which is obviously a very depressing song. And I just liked it. I wasn't like depressed or anything. Mm-hmm. And so I typed it out and there's a swear in it. And just a fading fucking reminder of who I used to be. Oh, it's so good. And I typed it out and my teacher found the paper. Yeah. And I ended up, I forget what happened.
Did you have to go to counseling or something like that? Were they like, we got to worry about this kid?
It was super weird. I had like a conference, but it wasn't with like my parents or anything. It was just with a bunch of different teachers. Like the principal wasn't there. It was just like my regular, like, you know, grade four teacher and then just three other random teachers. And they all like sat me down and talked to me. And I'm like, honestly, I'm fine. It's a band. It's a song. I don't know. And they're like, well, why didn't you capitalize any of the letters? I'm like, oh, they don't in the CD booklet. You know?
You're like trying to awkwardly explain, like, I'm not super emo. I'm just like a little emo. Like, I like the music, but I'm not sad.
Yes. And I got to give Nine Inch Nails so much credit for being one of the first emo bands, actually. They don't get any credit for it, but they should. All right, we got two more.
Oh, yeah. Two more. Number two. So coming out of the Czech Republic, this is one of my favorite young bands from Prague, actually. Beautiful city. Their new album, Late Eternity. Love the album title. So cool. This is a band called Skywalker.
Yes, Skywalker.
Have you ever listened to these guys, or is this
no.
a new one for
In
you?
I've heard of the band name because it's you know a name that you remember. And then I think every time I hear it, I mix it up with the actual Star Wars band. What are they called again?
Galactic Empire.
Exactly. And then I mix them up and I'm like, oh, no, no, wait. This band isn't the Star Wars themed band. They just have a name that sounds like they could be.
Yeah.
So, yes. No, I don't believe I've ever actually heard the band. But Prague, that's different. That's
I know, right?
Not a lot of bands from Prague.
For real. And like, especially in our genre, I believe. Mm-hmm. Like, which is really exciting because these guys are absolutely great. Some four fans of, since I know they're smaller. This band sounds a lot like The Amity Affliction, Dream on Dreamer, and The Plot and You. So if you're a big fan of those bands with kind of the sad, kind of screamy, angsty verses, and then the clean, still sad, angsty chorus, this is right up your alley. I absolutely love these guys, and I don't know who they've got producing this record, if they're doing it themselves, if they've got a friend. Like this, the production on the singles that I've heard is just absolutely incredible. The depth of the songs is honestly just makes them feel massive, more massive than a band their size should feel, which is absolutely great. And
yeah,
like this is just straight up sad boy metalcore, and I'm so excited to hear this record on Friday. Like,
sweet.
It's gonna be good.
Yeah, sweet. No, yeah, I'm just again, just going on their Spotify real quick, have a little look. Yeah, they've got an interesting live and locked down record. So they're they're doing like a live record, which is pretty cool, I think, for for a band that's a newer band to do that, I think is a really cool move for their fans. If you saw their just looked at their pictures, you would never think that they were a hardcore band at all.
they
look straight out of Prague, I'll say that. But no, this is good. This band, I'm excited to check this one out too.
Oh yeah, they do look like they're from Prague, 100%. They've got the look.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, we're gonna get into the number one record. We're gonna take a little break, and we'll be back. All right, we're back, and let's talk about it. The number one album, most anticipated of album of the week. Let's go. Here it is. Give it to me.
Awesome. So another awesome album title this week. We have the album Dark and Beautiful Secrets by Normandy, coming out of Stockholm, Sweden.
Okay.
This band is absolutely incredible. I know we were talking about Being as an Ocean a little bit there, but this band is just super emotional. In the same vein where they're kind of like metalcore, kind of not. They write amazing hooks. I think they're criminally underrated. I've been listening to them since their last album, White Flag. And like this band just has it all from a metalcore, like what we want perspective.
Yeah. Well, damn, a lot of European love in this top five.
Oh, yeah.
60% European bands. That's cool. I mean, Sweden has so many great bands over the years come out. I actually don't know this band. So this is exciting for me as well. Oh, there's my cat meowing again. Must be lunchtime.
Lunchtime.
And I don't really know much about this band at all, but if they're from Sweden, I'm sure they're probably good.
And like, they're absolutely incredible. I can talk about these singles. They're a little bit lighter than kind of their past work. I absolutely love their past work as well. Like they did a reimagining of their song White Flag, and at some point, instead of like singing the breakdown, I think it is normally, they actually switch the song for the acoustic version and swing that or sing that entire part in Swedish. And it's just like,
oh, yeah.
What? And somehow make it beautiful. And these guys are just super talented musically. I don't think they have a bone in their body that will allow them to not write a banger. Like, if you checked out our top 10 lists at the end of last year, this band's really similar to Noya, which is another absolutely incredible band. And you're just, if you like Noya, you're going to love this It's so good.
Awesome. Yes, Normandy with number one.
Number one.
Yeah, I just love this. I love that. I feel like the past few weeks, I think the last 3 weeks now, it's been a band that I really didn't know much about. A small band, totally worthy of the number one slot. I have no doubt in my mind Normandy is also worthy of that, and I can't wait to throw them on Friday, or if people on the podcast are listening to right now, it's out. So yeah. Go listen. Normandy.
It's Friday.
What was that again? Dark and Beautiful Secrets?
Dark and Beautiful Secrets.
It's a really simple title, but it does make you think, doesn't it?
Exactly. Like, lots of good album titles this week. Like, Trauma Factory, Late Eternity, Dark and Beautiful Secrets. Good album titles.
Yeah. Mike is an album title aficionado.
I am. Like, a good album title can make or break me actually checking out your band. Same with good album artwork. Same with cool song names, honestly. Like, if it gets down to it, I'm like, man, the album title was okay. The artwork looks kind of interesting, but not super interesting. If I look at the song titles and I'm like, oh, these are cool. And like, it goes both ways, too, because you can have those, like, super deep song titles that, like, make them look like a concept album or something mm-hmm. like that. I'm always mm-hmm. drawn to those. Or if you have, like, stupid band song name titles, like Devil Wears Prada old stuff, like right, Reptar, right. King of the Ozone and stuff. Like, those always get me in.
I hate
like,
buffering.
Exactly. Like, those kind of song titles, I'm sold.
There you go. Yeah, that I feel like that's died out a little bit. I don't know how many bands are doing the stupid song title thing. I knew at the time, I had some foresight at the time, mm-hmm. which is why Silverstein, we never really did it, even though a lot of our friends' bands were doing it. We never went down that road because I knew it wasn't gonna survive.
Yeah, it definitely seemed very trendy. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's some bands writing music that could bring it back, though. Like, Chunk No Captain Chunk is in the studio. And if there were a band to bring back funny album or song titles, I think it's them.
Probably. Oh, man.
Oh, see what happens. You ready for some honorable mentions?
Yes, I am. Let's go. I know you have a lot.
All right. So, welcome to our mini podcast inside of a podcast, WK Today, where we talk about all the newest Andrew WK news. Andrew WK has dropped a new single entitled Babylon, and it is prog, and I am so confused by it.
Really?
I absolutely love it. It's like genty, and the drumming is just absolutely insane, and the song is awesome, and the music video is cool. Like, the entire time there's just subliminal messages that pop up, and it's like party and stuff like that. I love Andrew WK. I think he's one of the greatest individuals in like the alternative music scene. He's so wholesome, and everybody should go check out the new Andrew WK song.
Well, I'm not surprised that he's doing something like weird and metal like that because I have a really strange Andrew WK story. So
I'm ready for it.
We played a show with him in Spain.
Okay.
We flew in for this show. And Andrew WK opened for us with a DJ set. So
nice. He
was warming up the crowd, and we were like, oh, this is great. Like, we're going to get the party going in Spain. Believe me, in Spain, too. Like, they know how to party.
Oh, so yeah.
We're like, this is going to be great.
Where in Spain was it? Were you in, like, Barcelona, Madrid?
I think it was Barcelona. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so Catalonia, for the purists out there.
Where they really know how to party.
Exactly, right? So, you know, we're excited, right? So we have this dressing room we're sharing, and he kind of comes in. I don't even remember meeting him, but the other guys tell the story that he came in, and he was like, hi, I'm Andrew. And it was like, oh, hi. And he was just like really mm-hmm. serious. So he gets on stage, and let me tell you, it wasn't much of a party. In fact, it was just him
really
playing. You probably would love it, Mike. He was just playing really, really aggressive death metal that was like so loud that it like was just, you couldn't really make out what was going on. It was just like,
it sounds beautiful.
And he was pretty much just standing there. And then once in a while he would just like air drum a fill. And it was like, he didn't talk to the crowd. He didn't work it or like or anything. There was no, like, what you would expect an Andrew W. set, DJ set to be. We didn't get any of that. And I mean, I was like, I think after about 20 minutes, I was like, okay, I guess I'm just going to
find
my own party somewhere else. Yes.
I love Andrew W.K. Like, he's just such a funny dude when he's with the full band. But that's like hilarious to me. Like, I would sit there and just love that.
Yeah, it was something. It was something. But then, I don't know. Then he was gone, and that's it. But no, don't get me wrong. I still love Andrew W.K. I do. And but I'm not surprised he's doing something crazy.
So, going off and some more honorable mentions, some other singles that we've got. There's a new Gojira single that just came out today.
Yeah,
absolutely great. They announced their new album. I forget the name of it, but it's coming out April 30th. So we'll be talking about that in April. Absolutely incredible band. So talented. I don't know how they do it. It just hits right.
Yeah.
And then our good friends in 68 have put out a new single this week. Nice. I like it more than the first single from this album. So always a good sign when that happens and they keep ramping them up.
For sure. When's that album coming out? Soon, right?
I think it is. I want to say it's in March, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about that one, I bet.
Oh, I'm sure. It'll be long talk. Then another single from, somehow I missed the first single from this, but Genghis Tron. This is really cool, like ambient rock, post-hardcore, metalcore, electronic. Like, they literally do everything.
Yeah, I know Genghis
Tron. They put
out
a single.
Yeah.
This single's more electronic, which is cool. It's also 10 minutes long, so no, it's not on repeat. But absolutely awesome track. I can't wait for that album when it comes out.
Absolutely. I feel like Genghis Tron, like, they've been a band a really long time.
I think so,
too.
Are
they just coming back? Like, is it...
I don't know. Let's look it up. We have the technology.
I'm pretty sure. I had a Genghis Tron. I don't even know where I got it. I had a Genghis Tron record, like, I want to say, like, at least 15 years ago. So, here we go.
2006 and 2008 were their last records. Yeah. So they're coming back 15 years later, which is cool.
There you go. Awesome. That's really cool. Great. Great pick.
Hell yeah. And then some other little releases that we've got. There's a Trippie Redd album coming out. Obviously, rapper Trippie Redd.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? It's got MGK on it. It's got Travis Barker on it.
Those dudes don't sleep.
No, they don't.
No.
It's going to be the same vibe. It's got Chino from Deftones on it, which will be interesting. We'll see how that goes.
Very interesting.
But honestly, who knows? We'll see what happens there. That should be good. And a band that's frustrating me to no end because I just want new music. Stick to Your Guns is releasing an acoustic EP tomorrow, actually, on Thursday.
Oh, wow. So, wow. Yeah. Cool. I mean, I know what you mean about that. Like, yeah, when was the last time they put a record out? I feel like it's been a minute.
2018.
Okay, yeah, so it has been a minute. And this, you know, this is something maybe the fans are going to be like, okay, but...
Oh, 2017,
can we get a record? But at the same time, I actually really like when they do stuff like that. Like, I think Jesse's a really talented front man. Doesn't get enough credit for his, you know, his actual singing voice.
He really doesn't. And I mean, everybody in that band is just absolutely incredible what they do. They've carved out such a niche sound for themselves that it's just awesome. And they put out one single from this as well. I think it was Amber. And like, it sounds great. It translates so well to acoustic, and the way they're doing it is, it's going to be a fun EP. But like, I want new music. Their record schedule, they did 2007, 2008, 2010, 2012, 2014, 2015, 2016, I think, had an EP. Yeah, an EP. And then 2017 had an album. And now we're just kind of like sitting here, like, what's going on?
Right.
It's a long break, but I don't know. I'm sure it's going to be good material when we get it.
I don't know. Well, their guitar player, Chris, lives in Windsor.
Ooh, hit him up.
So, yeah, I think he lives close to me. Yeah, so there you go. It's one
Chris,
reason.
If you're listening, new music.
Yes. Nice. All right, what else?
That's it. That's all I got this week.
Okay, cool. Well, we can we give a little preview about next week? Because I know next week you're saying is going to be a big one.
Yeah, next week is going to be an absolute huge week. We can talk about that a little bit. So, obviously the big one, Architects.
Yep.
We're going to be talking a lot about this Architects record and what's going on with it. I'm extremely excited for this record. I think it's going to be great. Some other things that we've got coming up. We've got a new EP from We Were Giants. We've got a new album mm-hmm. from Eternal Void. Mm-hmm. We've got a new EP from Of Mice and Men. We've mm-hmm. got a new EP from Pulses. We've got a new album from Epica. We've got a new album from Moonspell. We've got a new album from Ian Har. Like, there's so many things coming out. We've got a new album from NoFX.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to pick and choose, and it's going to be real hard for me, but we're going to bring you the best quality stuff.
Could be a longer episode next week with all the honorable mentions, and that's okay. That's okay.
It always is.
All right, great. Great. Well, as always, thanks, everybody, for tuning in to this and the chat. Now, we still don't have a new name for the show.
We don't.
I
was thinking about that. I was like, mm-hmm. man, I forgot. I was like, we should just try out some intros like at the beginning of the show. Like,
oh yeah,
hey, welcome to the New Jams podcast. How's it going? Like,
okay, how's yeah, that feel? Okay, yeah. Hello and welcome to the New Jams podcast. I'm your host Shane Told, and this is Mike Howell, my fabulous co-host.
Welcome. We're jamming.
All right,
I don't know, that was pretty good.
Okay, all right. What about new grooves?
Let's do it.
Hello, I'm Shane, and these are New Grooves.
The grooviest. I'm Mike Howell.
Groove is in the heart.
See, I feel like they've got different tones too, right?
Right.
Because like new jams, I almost want to be excited. Like, I want to be up here. I want to be high level. And New Grooves, I feel like I'm doing like morning, not necessarily morning, like that 2 o'clock radio talk show slot.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, hello and welcome, my listeners. Like, almost like Frasier talk show. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, I hope you've got your coffee and scrambled eggs ready, because these are the new grooves.
Oh, those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Yeah, well,
oh, I don't
the
know.
Only, I think I got, no, I think I only got one email pertaining to a show name suggestion.
What was it? I think I got a message too, so let me check.
They said we should call the show Mosh Calls.
Mosh Calls.
Which I'm a little iffy on, just because it doesn't really say anything about new music, and also we don't always just talk about moshable music. But
very
we could
true.
Be like, welcome to Mosh Calls, Circle Pit! You know, we could do that would be a good intro. Kind of not your 2 p.m. radio host slot, mm-hmm. but...
Well, I mean, it's Friday too. Like, it depends, because there's two types of Friday people as well. Like, they're the people who are, oh my God, it's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. But like, there's all those the people who are like, man, I am so ready for this week to just be over, and like, they don't want the hypey stuff on Friday. I don't know. It's a fine line to walk.
Everyone in chat is saying they like the new noise.
The new noise.
Shout out to Refused.
The new noise.
Can I scream? Welcome to the new noise. Can I scream? Yeah, it's a pretty, it's pretty good. I feel like there's got to be a podcast called that though.
So hear me out though, because if we do pick the new noise, our intro track can be "Come On, Feel the Noise," and that sounds pretty fucking hype.
To call the podcast the new noise and then not use the song.
Yeah.
And use "Come On, Quiet," is it "Quiet Riot"?
It's
"Come
Quiet
On,
Riot.
Feel the Noise." Yeah, that. Oh man, yeah, it is trolly.
I don't know, maybe I just like Quiet Riot more than I like Refused too. That's very possible.
you might. I know you're weird, Mike.
Quiet Riot's a good band, and I'll die on that hill.
That's a big hill. Okay. Actually, I don't know. Quiet Riot have "Come On, Feel the Noise." They had another one too. What was their other big
Bang
hit?
Bang Your Head. Mental Health Will Drive You Mad, or whatever that song is.
Oh yeah? No, I feel like they had like a huge song. Is it just Come On, Feel the Noise? Okay, yeah, maybe that is all they have. Yeah, and they're in their top 10 Spotify.
2.5 million monthly listeners, though.
Yeah, everybody's still listening to that on their like original vinyl, I think, that they got in 1983. And I will say, Come On, Feel the Noise is in the top 10 Spotify 3 times. And and adding up to over 200 million plays. So
pretty impressive.
Yeah, but maybe a bit of a one-hit wonder, maybe?
I'd think so.
They have got a song called Love's a Bitch, too. Ain't that the truth? Fucking gospel. But you die on your hill, Mike. You die.
I will.
You die on that hill.
I will. Great band.
Okay, well, we will see if anybody listening has more ideas. We want the perfect title. The New Noise is the best so far, but it's a little problematic, so we're not sure. But we'll see.
I don't know. You want to do a recap? Let's do a recap.
We didn't do a recap. Let's do a recap.
We didn't. And we got the people at home thing. Listening.
Yeah.
Still.
Let's go back. We'll just it'll be an hour of us brainstorming. all right. Let's round up the top five. Number five.
We've got the new album Amorphous by Icon for Hire.
Number four.
We've got the new album Mary. I don't know how to say it, by Harakiri for the Sky.
Icky guy. And number three.
We've got Trauma Factory by Nothing Nowhere.
And we got number two.
Late Eternity by Skywalker.
And the number one most anticipated album of the week is?
Dark and Beautiful Secrets by Normandy.
There it is. Voice. There's the top five. Know it, love it, listen to it. Thank Mike later. Don't thank me. I didn't do shit. All right.
Woo.
There's our show.
Killing it. Ow.